Typically, for these sleeper shows, we give you a list of 4 to 6 names at each position. That's going to be different here for this episode, for these quarterbacks. Yes, we've talked about it at length that this year the elite quarterbacks are underpriced, namely because they all got injured last year and get them at a better value this year. But when diving down deep through the ADP list, through the draft list this year, Hayden, you and I believe that there's really only 2 names people really need to have at the top of their mind heading into their fantasy drafts this year, and how that these late round quarterback targets could be the skeleton key to winning your fantasy league. So before we dive into those names, let's also talk about the rubric here. What makes a late round quarterback star?
I think there's like 3 different buckets. There's the pocket passer that all of a sudden plays like an MVP level. Last year, Matthew Stafford went 165th overall, an underdog, and he was the quarterback that had the second most points for their fantasy teams out there. And then the other buckets are, I think, a veteran changing team, new offensive coordinator, new play caller. Daniel Jones from last year was an example of that. And then the third one is just a new starter that runs like crazy. And I think the second and the third bucket are going to be our answers for this. And that was Jackson Dart maybe from last year. And there's been better examples in previous seasons. So it's like one of those 3 clear buckets to me is how you can find a quarterback 2 or quarterback 3 in ADP finishing as a top 12 guy.
So I'll scale it down even more, simplify it even more. To me, the 2 buckets are, you need to be in a top 8 scoring offense and or a mobile quarterback with rushing production, and that equals your floor of points on a weekly basis. And you brought up the 3 names that I was going to bring up too, the 3 late round steals from last year. And you can kind of, again, pick that apart from 2024, 2023, and so on. The first one is Drake May. He was obviously quarterback 3 in points per game last year. The Patriots scored the 8th most points just as a team. And Drake May himself, the 4th most rushing yards among all quarterbacks in the league last season. Then you brought him up, Daniel Jones. Before he got hurt, I believe, Hayden, the Colts were the number 1 scoring team in the NFL at 29.8 points per game. That was prior to his week 14 injury. And then there's Jackson Dart, as you pointed out. Yes, he finishes the top 13 quarterback in 9 of 12 games as a starter. The team did score the 16th most points, so that doesn't fit into what we're talking about. But 42.5% of his fantasy points from this past season were rushing. So all 3 of those names fit in either the buckets that I brought up. And I think both the names we brought up today have a chance of fitting in at least 1-2.
Yep, completely agree. And this is not just from last year. Like, this is like the same type of buckets for years. The other kind of new note for fantasy quarterbacks this year, at least on best ball, is the quarterback 2-3. Because, like, think about like quarterback like 13 to quarterback 30. They're all being drafted 2-ish, 3-ish rounds earlier than where they typically have been, which just makes it harder to find sleepers. And I think some of the strategies that have been working, which recently has been like 3 quarterbacks no matter what, I do think that this year, because the pricing has changed, we should think through that a little bit differently. But that's deep best ball weeds. I'm trying to like think about Yahoo drafts in this episode. And here's like, I think 2 guys that I think are going to be definitely drafted after quarterback 12 that have a chance of being a top 12 quarterback in fantasy this year.
Okay, let's dive into those names. The first one for us is Kyler Murray, now of the Minnesota Vikings. He's quarterback 17 on Underdog. We're also going to bring up your home leagues over on Yahoo. He's quarterback 16 there, the 9th or 10th round, depending on the platform. For me, Hayden, this one's pretty simple. Like, you are getting a discount on Kevin O'Connell's offense because they finished 26th in scoring last year. All that you have to do is rewind to 2024. They finished 9th in scoring. In 2022, they finished 8th in scoring. So while I have my questions about Kyler Murray as like reaching this number 1 overall pick and being a top 12 starter across the league on any given season, I have more questions about maybe his ability than others. Just the environment that we're here in, mixing with his skill sets, is like a recipe for us to nail down as the quarterback 17 or 16 in your drafts, a league-long starter for you in your lineups this season.
I have Kyler Murray ranked as a quarterback 10. He's being drafted as a quarterback 17. So like, I'm like drafting him as if like this upside case is coming to fruition, just because like it seems so obvious. So from 2022 to 2024, that's when KOC and Justin Jefferson were there without JJ McCarthy / Carson Wentz. Kirk Cousins averaged over 20 fantasy points per game. That's equivalent to the quarterback 7 in this last year. Nick Mullins and Sam Darnold averaged 19.8 fantasy points. That would have been the quarterback 8. Josh Dobbs, remember coming off the airplane, he started for a couple games, not very good at quarterback. He still averaged 17.5 fantasy points per game, which was the equivalent of the quarterback 17, which is what Kyler Murray is being priced at right now. Keep in mind, all of those guys, except for Josh Dobbs, did that without running. Kyler Murray has averaged 37 rushing yards per game over his career, and there's been a couple of seasons where he's even been better than that. He should be way, way, way healthy versus that ACL tear from multiple seasons ago. So if we get like 30 rushing yards per game on top of all the passing production, and the weapons are still really good, the offensive line is better now than it was a couple seasons when Kirk Cousins was balling out. And then I do think just like the verticalness does help with Kyler Murray, who has statistically not been a good downfield quarterback. But I do think if you watch him, the ball does explode on his hand and he does want to throw the ball down the field. He just has not been very successful. Well, on 20 plus yard passes, the Vikings were first in success rate from 2022 to 2024. That helps when you have Justin Jefferson. So like, to me, this is like so obvious that I really do not understand why he's being priced all the way down at quarterback 17.
I kind of do. I mean, just watching his 2025 versus 2024 stuff, some of his worst ball of his career was this past season. And obviously that was what, from week one through week five, and that's all we got. So I understand it from the market standpoint. And as you pointed out to open the show, let's say the high-end mid quarterbacks are being drafted earlier than ever. So that's going to lead us to liking a lot of those names because the quarterback position is in a very good place, I think, in the league right now. So someone like Kyler Murray is kind of, I think, falling through the cracks a little bit. One note as well, we had Ryan Heath on the program around last year in July, and a lot of what he said on the McShanahan tree really does continue to show up year after year. I mean, it's why we told you to draft Brock Purdy, and in the games he played, he did score a whole bunch of fantasy points. All of those, and Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan are one of their disciples as the play caller. They just have this offensive system that boosts fantasy production from their quarterbacks to a much, much greater extent than many of the other systems that is trying to chase this group. Question for you. Where does Kyler Murray need to improve to not slip through the cracks and become not just a fantasy scorer, but what we all hope he can be as like a real life quarterback too?
I mean, it's like crossing routes, you know, throwing the ball over the middle, saying within the structure for a half second longer. He has not been very good at that, obviously playing with his height. Like there's like very real limitations. I also want to note that the Cardinals are like one of the biggest joke organizations in all of American sports. And if you look at the NFLPA surveys, the Vikings are like number one in the league. So like going from like a terrible environment to like where everything around you just seems functional, that's not lost on me as well. And then, like you said, with the Shanahan stuff, a lot of it's just like play action. And from 2022 to 2024, before the offense went off a cliff last year because of quarterback play, the Vikings were second in play action rate. Since 2022, Kyler Murray has a 51% success rate on play action versus a 43% success rate without the play action. So you're going to get the downfield passing numbers rebounding for Kyler Murray, I would guess, at an all-time level. And then just like more play action is going to be good for Kyler Murray, where he doesn't have to, you know, scan, throw the ball immediately over the middle. The play action stuff's way down the field. You're not really throwing the ball over the middle that much off of it anyway. So yeah, I just like it's Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson. Everything's clicking here. And I think there are some warts with Kyler Murray, but at the same time, he has finished as a top five, top 10, like real life quarterback in seasons. Like it's kind of ups and downs, Russell Wilson-esque, but he has flashed like top 10 ability in the past. It just takes a specific type of offense. And I just think that they have it this year.
Yeah, I think that roller coaster nature, ups and downs, as you talked about, comes down to his comfort in it, like his comfort and trust in the environment. We know he has a history with Cliff Kingsbury, and we have seen Cliff's offenses go up and down at the exact same time. And when Kyler was comfortable with his play caller and with the people around him, then you did see those really high moments. And obviously last season, it was obvious from the jump that Kyler and Drew Petzing and Jonathan Gannon just simply were not on the same page with how this thing was going to work out. Some more detailed notes on that though. Like he still needs to stand tall versus pressure. And I know, get your short jokes in here, but like, you have to do that in this Kevin O'Connell offense, because when you allow a play to unfold and stand in versus the fire and don't abandon the play in those moments, there are windows and throws to be made that turn into explosives, that turn into 17-yard digs or, you know, 20-plus yard hole shots and all these things. And someone like Nick Mullins, who you brought up, was doing that. And we need to see Kyler get back to that like he did in 2024 versus, you know, kind of what he showed in 2025. And then the other thing to me is he needs to be aggressive in the red zone, especially to your tight end. Like, we know we were going through it in stats versus film every single week. Trey McBride was open way more in that tight field than he got the football when playing with Kyler Murray and then what we saw with Jacoby Brissett. So I'm excited for this. I mean, Kyler Murray is much better than the contract that he is on. We know why he's on that contract, because he's still getting paid by the Arizona Cardinals. But while we haven't seen exactly a one-to-one fit like this in the Kevin O'Connell offense to succeed, to me, that just makes it even more exciting, because he hasn't had a lot of these same levers to pull with these other quarterbacks that he's made into, again, top 10 scoring offenses.
Schedule-wise, second easiest, and then he starts the season with the Packers without Micah Parsons, and that's a high-scoring Packers offense, and then the Chicago Bears, high-scoring Bears offense with a lackluster defense. So I think for redraft leagues, like, you can start him if you're punting quarterback, and your quarterback one, and you just load it up and your flex is awesome. You got elite tight ends, the whole thing. I do think in like a 12-team league, you can start Kyler Murray as your quarterback one in week one. And then in best ball, I think he's like the ideal quarterback two, whether you have Josh Allen and Kyler and then you're done. Or if you go like the Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray pick, you know, a really deep sleeper quarterback three. I think either way, he's like the ideal quarterback two in best ball. But I do think in deeper redraft leagues, you can just start him right in week one.
Yeah, I mean, this is the perfect redraft quarterback over on Yahoo, in that you get that early season schedule that you talked about, and you can see what happens. If it's working, if it's not, if it does, like we saw with Daniel Jones and Drake May last season, then continue to ride that out. And in fact, if you wanted to do this later on in your draft, closing it with Kyler Murray and this next thing we're going to talk about, I think is an interesting proposition too. Although, you know, let's bring him up. Malik Willis is almost certainly not going to be drafted in your home leagues right now. But Hayden, quarterback 21 over an underdog, quarterback 19 on Yahoo at this point. Anytime we mention his name, we get vitriol in the comments. But I just want those people to let us make the case here. Give your case for Malik Willis and why he could be a skeleton key for fantasy football this season.
Well, small sample size king, over 159 plays over the last three seasons. Malik Willis is the quarterback one in EPA per play, quarterback one in completion percentage over expected, quarterback 11 in success rate. That's out of 79 qualifiers. Those are passing numbers. We're here for the rushing stats, and I got plenty of those. But as a passer, he is way better in a small sample than your Justin Fields types, who have held the line in fantasy for us before. I'm not going to make the case that the passing production is going to be there. You and I might be starting in three wide receiver sets for the Miami Dolphins. It's not going to be pretty there. But the rushing numbers are so obvious. If you guys watch him at any point, whether at Liberty or in the pros here, he's very fast, but he's also very physical. He's top three in yards after the contact as well. But his just numbers in terms of the scramble rate are off the charts. As a Packer, his scramble rate is 15%. The league average is 5%. That was the highest in the NFL over the last 4 years. He's number one in scramble rate among qualifiers. Malik Willis averages 9 yards per scramble, which is only trailing Justin Herbert. Over the last couple seasons, the NFL average is at 7.7 yards. So when he does scramble, he's really good at it. Then the quarterback design game, Lamar Jackson has averaged more yards per carry than Malik Willis. He's third, like I said, in yards after contact per carry. I've seen him do quarterback sneaks before as well. And keep in mind, when they get to the goal line, the starting running back on the Miami Dolphins is 5'9", 191. Well, I really like Devon Achane.
He's very good.
But at the goal line, have we seen him get smoked? I've seen him get smoked. And by the way, the Dolphins pass catchers are horrific. But the center is awesome. The left tackle is emerging, and he's a total athletic freak. Patrick Paul, please go watch some highlights of him. And then Caden Proctor, they drafted him to run behind him. So, like, we're here for the rushing stuff. If he's actually a good passer, that's how you can turn him into a legit top 10 guy. I think we're here for the floor, but I do think the floor is higher than this ADP.
So often we connect, and by we, I mean the ceiling and rushing production, when in reality, rushing and mobility is the floor for these quarterbacks. And then the passing production, the passing evolution becomes a ceiling. And that's exactly the case here for Malik Willis. And I want to talk about that passing stuff, because you outlined the floor extremely well with the rushing. when you go back, and again, it's a small sample, and namely against that Baltimore Ravens game, he had, what, 50 dropbacks this past season? There was a real rhythm to his game as a passer. I mean, he ripped up Baltimore, and again, you can get your jokes, and I know a lot of teams did last year until they switched some things around. Basically, every single coverage that he faced, he knew what the answer was at the end of his drop and made the correct decision and made some big-time throws in those situations. Like, okay, is it single high? Back foot, beautiful touch throw to the left sideline, complete on the red line. Cover two, seams shot to Christian Watson in the window overhead of Kyle Hamilton. Then there was a second and seven blitz. Okay, he trusts the running back and Josh Jacobs to pick that up versus Kyle Hamilton. Just a slight movement to his right, reset in the pocket, hit Romeo Doubs over the middle of the field in zone for a yak first down. And then a three-level concept. He's forced out of the pocket again to the right because of a blitz off his left side. Two defenders then drive on the underneath route. And so he hits Jayden Reed in the middle three on third and forever for a first down. So while you and I did watch him at Liberty, it felt like everything was along the sidelines and he still did make those vertical passes in that area. I have absolutely loved the progression, again, albeit in a small sample, of now what we're seeing of like full field reading and like legit defensive coverage, and especially targeting the middle of the field with Malik Willis. And I think that's exactly what Bobby Slowik is going to strengthen and heighten and focus on, is this, you know, extra protection, play action, and then these crossing routes over the middle of the field. And I think we're gonna have some success and some ceiling outcomes here from Malik Willis in some games with his passing dynamic too.
I will say that the coaching staff does make me nervous. I really like LaFleur, and I'm really not sure what we're signing up for with the Dolphins. In fact, like, you can make the case that, like, heading into the season, the coaching staff that you probably trust the least could be the Miami Dolphins here. And like, obviously the pass catchers are even worse than that. But this Bobby Slowik, load up the protection, throw the ball down the field. I do think that's what they're going to do. Yeah. And then you're going to have a lot of zone read stuff. I think the quarterback sneaks and quarterback power and all that type of stuff, you're going to see elements of all that here. And that's going to be exciting. Then hopefully Chris Bell hits the ground running about Halloween, and we can take some of these crossing routes all the way to the house. So yeah, I think this is probably stretching it in like your typical 12 team league as him being your quarterback one. I think we're going to talk about him a lot on the waiver wire in terms of quarterback streaming. I think in best ball, he's a really interesting pick. Let's hit on the downside case. What do you say the odds are that he like gets benched this season? And I guess the follow-up to that would be, does it really matter? At least in a redraft, like, you just drop him and you pick somebody else up. But what do you think like the realistic odds of him actually finishing the season as the quarterback one are?
Fair question. He does have $13 million guaranteed also in 2027 season. So it's not just a 1 year contract and that's it. Now, $13 million, if they're in the top five, top 10 picks next year, obviously that can be backup money and that's it. But I would have been more nervous if he was going to a team or signed with, like, I don't know, the Arizona Cardinals, which, other than, you know, the LaFleur brothers, there's not much of a connection there. Obviously with Miami, GM, Green Bay, head coach, Green Bay, and this was their target all along for the quarterback spot. So it can go sour. It can go south. Like, it happens a lot. It happened with Kyler Murray, who we talked about. It happens with quarterbacks every single year. But I think the leash is pretty dang long here when you consider, like, the next quarterback here is Quinn Ewers, which, by the way, the offenses, I think, are going to be styled very differently with Quinn Ewers out there, which is like a point-and-shoot passer versus Malik Willis that you can attack like every single blade of grass with.
Yeah, I think that's well put. I think that his odds of finishing the season the quarterback one are pretty high. It's not 100%, obviously, but it's pretty high just looking at the contract. Quinn Ewers is totally different than Malik Willis. I think they're going to try to make Malik Willis really happen. Obviously, there's some rushing injury risk here, but I think there will be moments that we will like the Malik Willis stuff. I think that he's going to have some like really high end fantasy.
This is an old school Konami code late round rushing quarterback that fantasy has caught on to over the years. So you don't really get them in late rounds as recently, but this feels like we're back in, you know, 2018 or 2017. And it's like the Colin Kaepernick stuff all over again.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to throw out Justin Fields. We were still drafting. I mean, not we, you guys were still drafting Justin Fields, like, as like around the quarterback 10 after years of proof that he was not a good starting quarterback, at least with the Malik Willis stuff, like he could be a boat. And the small sample size says you might have a little Duffy boat waiting for you right here. So I think it's just a great pick, especially in like deeper redraft leagues. Like if you wanted to go with Justin Herbert and then you have Malik Willis kind of sitting on the bench, I do think that he's good enough as a bench stash, even in like a 10, 12 team league. I think that a lot of the quarterbacks, like the top 18 quarterbacks, like they all look pretty dang good to me. I'll mention Jordan Love as maybe like another sleeper for doing something like more in the Matthew Stafford bucket of just like get red hot in terms of passing touchdowns and an ascending offense. And all of a sudden he can be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. But I do think we did hit on the two sleeper quarterbacks this year. Like there's really no need to mention Strouds and Bryce Youngs and those guys really.
Right. And again, I mean, on this episode last year, we brought up Drake May. We brought up Trevor Lawrence. And like those guys absolutely hit for where they were being drafted. It just feels like we are drafting in a different environment, selecting from a different quarterback pool environment this year than we were last year. And for that reason, again, I continue to mention, I am drafting Josh Allen in the third round. I am definitely going for this Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels area of mid round five to mid round six on top of that as well. It's also an easier case to make for Kyler Murray when, you know, his surrounding cast is Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and Juwan Jennings versus, you know, Malik Willis, Jalen Tolbert, Tutu Atwell, Chris Bell, Caleb Douglas, Malik Washington, Kevin Coleman Jr. But, you know, that's why you get him a few rounds later, too.
Yep, it's Kyler Murray. I mean, just make the thumbnail Kyler Murray. Just remember Kyler Murray, this show. It's going to work.
Just because of that, I'm going to make the thumbnail Malik Willis, and we're going to roll from there. All right. Again, we don't want to waste your time with four, six names. These are the two that you should be targeting. We will waste your time with tight ends and wide receiver sleeper videos on the way in the coming days. So be on the lookout for that. Hit subscribe. It would be lovely if we could reach 1,000 likes, thumbs up on this video, and hit subscribe because once again, it's totally free to all of you. We'll check in the next video. See ya.